The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Good morning. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I did, with my friend Eric. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. The firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and satellite offices in Orlando and Tallahassee. And we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. Wake up. I think they're on a turkey lull here. Give us a call. We'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you live in the state. You can call us toll-free right now at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab. Oh, there we go.
That's the tryptophan from the turkey, right?
Yeah, L-tryptophan is like really got them in a cloud.
Well, wake up, everybody.
Wake up.
Good morning. And if you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. We send out so much stuff on condo law and HOA law each and every week. By joining, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our seminars, big one coming up next week, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a whole lot more. As our listeners also know, we do a blog every Monday morning. For the past, I don't know, 5-6 years now, hundreds and hundreds of topics on there. And that can be found every Monday morning again at www.hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, is there any way to prevent videotaping of your board meetings? Now, trust me on this. Karen, read this tomorrow.
I will.
Because I promise it will make you laugh. Okay? Yeah, this blog will make you laugh. Funny story in this blog about a true case where, all right, should I give it away?
Yeah.
Okay. Believe it or not, some condos out there are actually, you ready? Nudist colonies.
Oh.
Yes.
In Florida?
In Florida. There's actually condominiums that are nudist colonies.
So
are you allowed to videotape at the condominium board meeting? That's also in a nudist colony.
That would be pornographic.
Well, you'll have to read the blog to get the answer. Yeah, but it's like, all right, I'll keep going. So our firm now employs the former chief arbitrator for the state of Florida, and James Earl. And James actually gets called to arbitrate, to be an arbitrator at this particular condominium.
Oh,
he had no idea
he walked in.
That it was a nudist colony.
Oh, my God. I bet he had a special assessment of that one.
Can you say he goes and he sits down, and the guard at the gate was dressed, right?
Okay.
The guard says, okay, go into that room over there and wait for everybody to show up.
And they all
And he's sitting down, and can you imagine you're the arbitrator, you're dressed in a shirt and tie, and the people start to walk in all nude. And he's like, what
is this
the
like a
hell
joke?
Is going on? Yeah, could you imagine it?
No.
I would have liked to be a fly on the wall on that one, right? That's hysterical.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
Only in Florida.
Only in Florida, right? So, again, happy and a healthy Thanksgiving weekend to everybody. It really was nice spending Thanksgiving with you, Karen.
Thank you. I loved it.
Yeah, had a wonderful time. And, you know, somehow in my house, we were able to get away, really, believe it or not, with, like, little to no talk about politics. Yeah, and as a result, this year, believe it or not, no fights, no cops had to be called, right?
No.
No screaming matches. No. It was a lot more quiet than usual, but we cut down on the booze.
That's the helps.
Yeah, that was the smart way of doing things, right?
Yeah. Every time I started to talk politics, Eric's would kick me under the table. I'm all black and blue.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm kidding, of course. But honestly, my wife made me promise. Politics was off limits on Thursday, and she was right. For just a few hours, it was just back to everybody being on the same team. It was about friends.
But even that, family. I mean, politics has imbued itself into everything, even football. That became political.
Even football, right, with the kneeling becomes political. But we were pretty good. And for a few hours, again, it was about friends, family, food, like you say, football, Karen, and tradition. It was nice, and I hope all our listeners had a similar experience. But, hey, if there were blow-ups at your dinner table, we want to know about it here on this show.
Blow by blow.
Loved one, right? If you were called deplorable or a snowflake or any word that ends in ist, right? Or phobic of any kind, right? We want to know how you dealt with it at your Thanksgiving table. So give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. All right, who do we got? We got Jerry in Coconut Creek. How are you, Jerry?
Good morning, Eric, and happy Thanksgiving
hear,
weekend to you, too. I have a question.
Can you hear him?
There you go. How are you, Jerry?
Hello, you hear me?
Yep, we hear you, Jerry. How can we help?
Okay. Okay, we have a problem here with our annual budget. Last month, the board voted, and they scarcely voted because there's only a few board members, just enough to have a quorum, on the new budget proposal, the anticipated new budget. But we tabled the actual approval of it to the next scheduled board meeting, which is this Tuesday. However, in the interim, one board member quit because she moved, so she's out of the picture now. One board member is on a trip to Orlando, and one board member is now on a cruise on a ship somewhere. So at this board meeting, we really don't have enough of the people. Two of the people who were left who were at the last board meeting have shown opposition to the proposed new budget. So what happens in a case like that?
Okay, so
if we don't get enough people, okay, and we have to get a budget done.
So the law is that until the new budget actually gets passed, and you're still under an obligation to pass a new budget for the coming year, and yes, you may be in violation of the statute, and you may be in violation of the Florida statutes, but until a new budget is actually passed by your board, the law says that the old budget shall remain in place.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a
common sense answer, right?
New year, but that will that then continue for the whole 2019?
No. Your board can still, when everybody gets back from their trips, their vacations, or wherever they are, you should still have that board meeting to pass the budget for the 2019 year. You're required to.
Okay. Well, we'll have two new board members coming on December 13th, which is our annual meeting.
Okay.
But I was concerned about this because I was thinking the same way you did, that the current budget would have to remain until a new budget is passed.
Well, remember,
the
also,
problem is the management company, they have to print new.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to tell you. Well, that's one issue. And the other issue is, remember, if you're making any changes to the budget that was originally sent to everybody, you're going to have to re-notice that meeting. You're going to have to send a copy of that budget out to everybody all over again and give 14 days advance notice of that meeting. Otherwise, your budget is no good. So, again,
okay,
make sure it's
nothing was
changed.
Mailed out yet. Absolutely nothing was mailed out yet. They were contemplating, after the exception this Tuesday, to mail out the new budgets to everybody. But now that this problem arises, we have to put everything on hold if can't get four positive votes. So what you say is what I thought, and I appreciate your answer.
Anytime, Jerry. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye. Who else we got? We got...
Yep. Lines are loaded.
Lines are filled. Whoever we got next, let's take him.
All right. Who's this? Jim.
Jim.
Hello.
Oh, Jeff.
Joe?
Joe, sorry.
Jim, Jeff, Joe, or Jim? Who do we got?
Joe.
Joe and Boynton?
Hello. This is Joe in Boynton.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving. What's going on?
Okay. HOA has tennis teams, pickleball teams, billiard teams, and so forth that they use the HOA facilities. Are clubs allowed to make rules that require the member of the club to play on the teams without board approval?
Wait. Say that again. You live in an HOA. There's courts.
We
right?
have teams that play against other HOAs.
Oh, you're playing against other HOAs. Okay, right.
Right. A club's allowed to make rules that are not approved by the board that require you to be a member of the club to play on the team.
I think if it's a private club, you can. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as long as every member, right, is allowed to use the course,
right,
you know, the courts like everybody else, fine, but if there's going to be this special club created that's going to engage in competitions and stuff like that, yes, that's private clubs. There's private clubs that exist in in many, many associations, probably in every association, certainly that's a 55 and over community, and it's separate and apart and distinct from the actual association itself.
But they are using his facility.
Right. But as a member, look, a private club can say, no, you can't come in, you can't join, or you have to be a member in order to be a part of our private club. No problem doing that. No problem. However, that person who's, as long as they're a member, you know, and paying dues, they're entitled to use the courts like everybody else. But whether or not they get into this private club, that's definitely up to the rules of that private club. Okay?
Thank you.
Hope he answers your question,
yes,
Joe.
Sir.
Let's do this. I see the phones are packed.
Yep.
Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news. There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association. Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Phone lines are a-buzzin'. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. He is answering all your calls and questions about anything having to do with your HOA, condo, or co-op. So give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
And the calls are coming in. How about we go to Ron in Deerfield? How are you, Ron?
Hi, Eric. How are you? Happy
Good.
Thanksgiving.
Same to you and yours. What's going on?
Question on an HOA. Community would like to remove a director. Can they get a petition with the required number of signatures?
How many homes are there in your community?
388.
Okay, 388. So if I do the math, that's 150 and 44, which would be 194. So you would need 195. Right? 195
right.
owners in your community, which would be a majority, right, to sign what's called a recall
Correct.
Ballot. And the recall ballot okay. gets served on the board. And I'd go into a long lecture about how to do this, but the legislature truly dummied it down this year. And basically, if you serve those 195 on the board and those ballots are what's called facially valid, then the board basically has no choice but to step down. That member has no choice but to step down. The board has to certify the recall, and that member is gone. A little more complicated if you're trying to recall a majority of the board members, but one is pretty simple. That's how the recall system
okay,
works.
So, so having 195 signatures on a petition
right.
Is okay.
Now make sure you use the petition that's online. Don't create your own forms. There's a lot of potential defenses. You got to make sure that there's actually boxes there marked recall and retain, so people have a choice as to whether or not to keep or kick off the board member. You got to make sure that you don't use photocopied ballots. Everybody has to vote their own ballots. And you got to make sure basically that the renters are not voting and that the owner's voting, you know, because those, again, potential defenses. But if you do it, and by the way, you got to make sure there's less than 60 days left before the next election. Otherwise, if it winds up in arbitration, the division will kick it out. So you got to make sure that, you know, you do it.
Even if that person is not running this year.
Well, when is your next election is the question.
January.
All right. So don't waste your time doing a recall now. Okay. You got to wait and see what happens. Because why? Because it's going to be a moot issue anyway, right? A moot when the new election comes around. Unless you're like in the middle of a 2-year seat now. This person that you want to kick off, is that seat up in January?
No, he's not. No.
Oh, so that would be on for like another an extra year. So in
right,
other words, it's
exactly.
a staggered term. Okay. So then yes, it would make sense for you to do the recall now. Because that
right,
specific seat is not up for election in January. Only other seats are. So you're good. So it absolutely
okay.
makes sense if you guys want to do it. Give it a shot.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay. You got it. Take care, Ron. All right. How about we go to Mark in Lighthouse Point.
Good morning. Would it be safe in saying that other than when you enter the front door of your condominium or go out the sliding door if you live on a first-floor condo, that's the only area that's private. Other areas outside your door is a common area.
That's exactly right. It's a good point. Are you concerned about whether or not someone's claiming a right to privacy while on the common elements? Is that where your question is heading?
The adjunct to that would be, do I have to tolerate a unit owner opening and sliding doors? The moms are saying that I can't walk my dog past, say, 3 feet on the grass outside his door.
Generally speaking, anything that's, you know, located behind your door and and on your side of the paint is your unit. Everything else is basically common areas. Now, limited common areas can be like your parking space that's only you can access,
right,
or your balcony that's only you can access. But other than that,
yes, mm-hmm,
nope, it's all common element, and the board can make reasonable rules and regulations regarding use of the common areas. Your neighbor can't.
Yeah, as long as you're not being a nuisance, right?
Yeah, of course, right. Now, yeah, but you know, in terms of walking your dog, the board can make reasonable rules regarding where dogs should be walked. That would be fine, but your neighbor can't.
Could they restrict where you can walk? It's just one particular area?
I think the board can make a reasonable rule saying, hey, we want certain areas, if possible, to be off limits. To pets, we want to create an area where you can walk your pets, you know, in a certain area that is less intrusive to everybody else, and I think that would be fine. Now, believe it or not, Karen, you know what screws that up?
What?
If someone has an emotional support animal, service animal, understood, but if someone has an emotional support animal, under federal law, that pet is, it's not considered a pet, actually, that emotional support animal is allowed to walk wherever that unit owner is allowed to walk. So, again, some people have even said, I get to take it in the pool. No, you don't.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
The emotional support, when you say emotional support, does that come under a specific category other than a support or, a dog?
Emotional support animal is recognized.
When you
okay, you asked if it's a dog, okay? So a service animal, right, is an animal that has specific training to do a task, right? And the most easy one for all of us to think about is a seeing eye dog for a blind person, right? That's a service animal that has specific training to help somebody with their disability. An emotional support animal, however, has no specific training, right? A doctor has to just prescribe it and say that it helps the person with their disability, basically. That's really the only test. Now, that's why an emotional support animal, whereas a service animal must be either a dog or a small horse. An emotional support animal can be anything, and that's why we're seeing ridiculous stories about an emotional support tarantula.
What?
Right? Chickens, gooses, peacocks on planes. It's all good under the emotional support animal theory. It's absurd and ridiculous, and I'd like to see Congress get a handle on it eventually.
I don't want to belabor the point, though, but if a long road comes through our entire property, and they want you to take it to basically your animal, walk it to the end of that road where you have like some storage bins and stuff, and the dog wants to smell something and wants to head in a different direction to go, and you want to take him out to that road, but
yep,
it doesn't want to go straight out to the cement. I could be refrained from doing that?
Yeah, I think you can. I think boards can make reasonable rules and regulations in their community regarding the common areas and where pets are allowed to be walked. Absolutely, and I think an arbitrator would uphold it every time. Okay?
I got you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. All right, how about we go to Patrick in Orlando. How are you, Patrick?
Hi, Eric. Nothing here about emotional support tarantulas.
Right.
A little more mundane.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
I have a question about replacement budgets and for replacement funds.
Condo or HOA, by the way?
From operating funds?
Wait.
HOA.
HOA, I'm sorry. Okay, start over.
So my question is, do replacement funds in an HOA need to be budgeted separately and presented to the members at the annual budget meeting the same way the operating funds need to be?
You're using the word replacement funds.
We haven't had that in 3 years.
Well, you're using the word replacement funds. I don't know what that is.
It's like a slush fund. Just
right,
kidding.
Right. You mean reserve funds.
Reserve funds.
Okay, so So in an HOA, works a little different. Again, when we get calls like this, we want to educate the listeners on how it generally works in a condo. And in HOA, the condo statute says when you do your budget, reserve funds must be included in your budget, right? Has to be shown as fully funded, and the board can give the unit owners the right to vote down fully funded reserves with no reserves or partially funded. HOA, a little different, okay? HOA, there's several different ways that reserve funds can make it into your budget, but they don't necessarily it's not necessarily a requirement of your budget. So they can get in there is if the developer put them in there to begin with, right? So I'd have to know, how did these reserve funds get in there? Number two, do your documents call for it? Did the unit owners vote for it? In other words, why is there a provision in your budget for reserve funds? How did it get there?
So we did a handover 3 years ago from the developer. The developer did a reserve study and then deposited some large chunk of money to create the reserve fund.
Okay, got it. So I'm guessing, without looking at your documents, I'm guessing that there's actually a requirement, and it's possible that in your documents there are a requirement to fund a reserve account, especially if your developer funded it. So if that's the case, then when you say there's a replacement fund, how do you put replacement back? It's done over an analysis of the specific components. In other words, roof, pavement, painting, things that are being reserved for. You figure out what the life expectancy is, right? Is there's 10 years left and it's $100,000 to replace that component. You know you got to reserve $10,000 a year for the next 10 years. Okay, you're already starting with $50,000 in the bank, so we only have to build up $50,000 over the next 10 years on that specific line item. Is that what you mean by replacement, Patrick?
That is, and the reserve study kind of lays that all out for us. It assumes we started at zero, and then it says year by year how much you should be funding, when you should expect to have capital expenses, what years those need to be replaced. So it has all the tools there to help us budget. And the reason I'm asking this is we haven't had a separate replacement fund, and a director recently got on who realized that here in 2018, the board had been using those funds as operating expenses.
Yeah, wrong.
And in the annual budget, the fund wasn't disclosed. Those funds were being used to offset the actual expenses in a few categories, reducing the apparent expense.
I got it.
So if 40 grand came out of, you know what I'm saying?
And well, that money should be put back now. Yeah. That money should definitely be put back. You know, you talk about a replacement fund. Yeah, you need to replace the funds that were in the reserve account that were used to pay ordinary bills. Now, if you were in a if you were in a condo setting, right, the DBPR could technically come down on you guys big time. It happens all the time. Okay, but because you're in an HOA, it would take someone to actually file suit against your association. But if they did, they would win. Okay, you cannot use funds that are set aside in your budget for reserves to be used to pay the common expenses of your association. So if I was on your HOA board, first thing I would do is to admit a mistake was made here. We used reserve funds for common expenses and to put those funds back because that's what you're required to do by law. I hope that answers your question, Patrick, but we got to take our bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs. Here on 850 WFTL, we are live. Yes, we survived Thanksgiving. And if you'd like to give Eric a call, he is an expert and board certified in condominium and plan development law. The number to call is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, what was once way off in the distance is now upon us.
Yep.
Our seminar is coming up next week, everybody. Remember, if you're on a board of directors, if you don't get certified within 90 days after getting on that board, you are automatically off, and get certified by attending our popular Condo Craze board certification class. We've certified over 15,000 Floridians.
Wow.
Yeah, all across. I worked hard on that, I got to tell you.
I know
that's,
you did.
It's hard work going.
Well, first you invented the class.
Yeah, yeah. And
then you got
traveling
it approved.
Throughout the state.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it's hard work. But and by the way, this year we were approved. Very unique class. That this particular board certification class was also approved by the DBPR to provide two 2019 legal update credits.
Wow.
For all community association managers. You know, community association managers are required by law, if they want to keep their license, to get updates on the law each year. So this class not only gives them the requirements that they need, but it also gives board members for both condos and HOAs the requirements that they need to get certified. So when is next one, Karen?
December 6th. That's at 5 p.m. Dave & Busta's in Hollywood. And you know what? This put you and Glazer and Sachs on the map, and
yeah,
you're providing a buffet dinner. All of the sponsors are going to be there, and there's a panel of experts whom we love. They're so smart, and it's always fun and exciting. Even if you've been to one of Eric's seminars before, you always learn something new. Even if you're just not even on the board, you're just living in an HOA,
yeah,
or you should go.
Now, I'll tell you this. We were thinking about closing off registration before the holiday weekend. And I won't know until tomorrow how many more people registered.
Okay.
But it's possible we are even sold out at this
point.
Okay. So, yeah, but tomorrow, you know, if you're still allowed to register, we're not going to turn anybody away. But don't be surprised if by tomorrow night registration is shut down, because we are overbooked.
Whoa.
There's going to be a tremendous, tremendous turnout. it is going to be a lot of fun.
But you teach a lot of different topics at the seminar, including importance of the from time to time language, official records, the different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals. That's what we were just talking about. Collections, manager responsibilities, all of the new laws that were passed this year and a lot more. Some of those laws Eric even drafted. Food served. It's delicious buffet. Everyone walks out with a nice certificate. It's frameable and certainly a lot wiser. You don't even have to take notes. Eric provides you with the notes at the end. It's amazing.
Yeah, and to register everybody, go to condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com. I will say one more thing. If you haven't taken the class in the last 2 years, you absolutely should and must. Why? Because there's so many new laws that were passed that actually make certain actions of board of directors now, especially in a condo, criminal in nature. Yeah, so believe me, you're going to want to find out what you can and cannot do. So to register, go to condocrazeandhoas.com.
I have a question.
Real
quick, you were talking with that last caller about reserve funds, whatever they called it, overflow.
You called it replacement
funds. Replacement funds.
It's reserve funds.
Right. So if your documents mandate that you have to have that.
Yeah, in an HOA.
Is it possible to opt out of it?
Your unit owners would have to change the documents in order to opt out of it.
So it's not simply by signing the paper that has the huge writing that you're opting out of it. You'd have to vote on it.
Well, you say if the original documents have the requirement that the fund that – okay, I see what you're saying. So the original documents in an HOA say that the board must propose a budget with reserves. Good question.
Right.
So they propose it, but the board – yes, the board would still be able to give the unit owners the right – to vote down the funding of reserves. They can do that. And they can provide them with a budget that says no reserves, or they can provide them with a budget that says partial reserves.
Okay.
But good question, Karen. Okay. Yeah. In other words, once it's in there, the board would have the requirement to send it out with fully funded reserves. But just like in a condo, give the unit owners the choice to vote it down completely or partially. Okay? How about we go to Joan in Coconut Creek? How are you, Joan?
Hi, good morning. Healthy holidays
to
you.
Same to you. How can we help?
One question. Are phone votes or internet votes allowed for board member votes on any particular item?
In other words, you have a board member that can't make it to a meeting. So the board
several
member says...
Board members.
I'm sorry?
Several, actually.
Okay, fine.
Actually, three board members.
Can't make it, but they all want to appear at the meeting, and they want to appear by telephone, right?
By telephone, yes.
Okay. So there's still going to be a central meeting place, right? In other words, there's going to be that board meeting at the condominium, let's say, right?
Yes, at the clubhouse, yes.
Okay, so at the clubhouse, there's going to be a speaker phone, right, where the board members can call in. And everybody can hear the board members talk, and the board members who are on the phone can hear everybody in the audience, right?
Yes.
Then those board members who can't appear in person can appear by phone, and they can actually vote by phone as well.
But not by email.
Oh, they can. Okay.
They can. No problem doing that. Okay?
Oh, yes. And why don't you come to Coconut Creek? We'd love to see you again.
I don't remember getting another invite.
Oh!
But I'm there. I'd love to come.
We're at the seminar for about 3 years.
I remember.
And I would love to see you again, Eric.
Yeah, you talk to the powers that be, and we'll be there. And I appreciate the kind words this morning.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your advice. Thank you, Eric.
Okay. They can't vote through email, but they can vote on the computer through Skype.
They can vote. Actually, they're voting orally. In other words, they're appearing by computer. But you're gonna either see or hear them, and you're gonna say, "Okay, Joe, how do you want to vote?"
But they can't just send it in.
They can't send it in. And what we always teach at the seminar, they can't vote by proxy.
Right.
So, in other words, what do I mean? You know, John, I teach it this way. John and Jane are on a board. Tonight's a very important meeting. John unfortunately can't make it, but he's very passionate about item number 3 on the agenda. So he writes out a proxy. He gives another board member his proxy so that when item number 3 comes up, Joan can say, "I have John's proxy. John votes in favor. Is that valid?" No, it's not. Directors cannot vote by proxy. But what can John do if he can't make it to the meeting? Exactly what Joan said. Call in. Right? And as long as everybody can hear John on the phone and John can hear everybody in the audience, John can cast his vote that way. I mean, today with so many different ways of appearing with technology, there's absolutely no reason why, you know, you just can't spare a few minutes, call in, get your vote counted, and that's it. I can tell you this, you know, we represent associations throughout the state of Florida, and technology has gotten so wonderful, so fantastic, that we use a program in our office now called GoToMeeting.
Yes.
And I got to tell
it's
you.
It's an app, right?
It's an app. Yeah, you just put it on the computer. Yeah. You know, if someone, let's say in Jacksonville, wants to meet with our office, I send them just a link to click on.
Beautiful.
Right? All it does is a little link to click on. They have a computer at the meeting that they're going to be at. And all of a sudden, I am sitting, and they see me, and I see all of them at their board meeting, or, you know, whatever meeting they want us to be in, and it's just like being there.
Except you can't throw anything at the board members.
You can't throw anything, right, exactly. But let me tell you, other than that, technology has made it where distance means nothing, you know, because the ability to participate in meetings through video conferencing has taken away the need to actually be there. There's no reason for an attorney to actually be there if you can actually do it through GoToMeeting. It's an incredible product.
You don't have to interact with anybody.
Yeah, exactly. But let's do this. Let's take our final break. Again, time's running out. You want to get your calls answered. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is InsureCo. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. InsureCo Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise. Inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis here with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in community association law. Don't wait to the last minute to call and get some free advice on a toll-free number, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And while we wait for your call, last week we spoke about the board's responsibility to give back or credit excess funds, whatever you want to call them, to the owners in their community. And I think board members really didn't like that idea, Eric. The average unit owner certainly did like it.
Yeah, exactly. Like we said, for good reasons. Boards don't like to give back money that they already have in their possession. And, you know, for good reason. They know that once they have it, if they have to give it back, they may not be able to get it back again when they need it for necessary repairs. So instead of giving it back or crediting it against future assessments, they kind of just ignore the fact sometimes that it's there.
They're sitting on $3 million.
Yeah, and that potentially violates Florida law. You know, there's ways to keep it, but, you know, spend it or lose it is actually the way it's going to go in Florida law. You have all that money? Well, now might be the time to do a major project and pass it as a special assessment. Use that money to pay the special assessment.
What do you mean, spend it or lose it?
Well, meaning give it back.
Oh, give it back.
Yeah,
okay.
Meaning
I was
give it
say,
back.
Oh my God,
yeah, you're
going
to have to give it back. If not, if the board doesn't do that, you know, if they don't spend it, yeah, they're going to have to give it back to the unit owners.
What's absolutely happening with all the leftover money that, you know, they pay for the DBPR, a couple bucks?
Remember,
a year?
Remember, we had, you see, and it's funny because this is why, if you notice, I don't have many legislators on the show. I used to do it so much
you
more
did
often.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Do you know why I don't?
Because they won't come on.
Because it's a waste of time.
They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, right. And they promise things that just they cannot deliver. Remember, we had legislators on the show saying, "Oh, don't worry. Now that I know that
right.
I'm not going to.
They didn't even
names.
Know this money yeah, was lying
but,
around.
Right, right. But now that I know, rest assured, next year there's no way I'm going to allow the DBPR to do this again. Blah 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 blah. Right. And the money is still being taken from condo owners, still being swept into the general revenue fund, and condo owners are still being ripped off
yep.
all across the state to the tune of
millions
and millions of dollars. But we got a good email this morning. Richard in Ocala writes in and says, and it's a perfect segue into actually our next topic. And Richard writes in and said, we had a short sale in our HOA. So what is a short sale? So let's say someone owes $250,000 on their mortgage, but the house is only worth $180,000, right? So they're really upside down now, right? What do? They can only get $180,000 for their house, but they owe $250,000 to their mortgage company. So they work out a deal where the mortgage company, there's a buyer, now someone is willing to buy the house, but that mortgage company is only going to get, let's say, their $180,000 back rather than the full $250,000 that's owed to them, and everybody will go away. Now, what happens when the HOA is owed money, right? So, again, Richard writes in and said, we had a short sale in our HOA. That means the owner sold a home for an amount of money that his mortgage company did not get what they were fully owed. The house had to be sold for less, and the mortgage company took less. But, what happens to the HOA? What happens to the association? Well, Richard says $7,000 was owed to our HOA, and we only got $1,000. How could we do better? And the answer to that is you simply could have said no. If once that third party buys it, right, they owe the full $7,000. If that's what the docs say, right? This is a typical, if it's a sale where, you know, A is selling to B, where this certainly sounds like, then sorry, B is going to owe that full $7,000. So your association, however, appeared to say, it's okay, we'll take the $1,000. Now, why in the world would an HOA take a $1,000? Could be a reason for it. Because if the sale doesn't go through, right, and the seller can't sell it, and the bank is now going to foreclose and take it back, well, that could be the worst thing for the HOA, because the bank would only owe the association the lesser of 1% of the mortgage, right? which could right, which could be you know next to nothing, or a 1 year of assessments, whichever is less. So we don't know how much the assessments here are. If the assessments are less than the $1,000, then you know the association might have gotten more than what they were entitled to. But with $1,000, it doesn't seem like much. So again, when there's a short sale, if the association wants to hold out for more, they can. They could say, no, we're not going to approve. We want the full amount that's owed. And apparently that didn't happen here. And why, I don't know. All right, how about we go to Kirk in Lauderhill?
Hold on. We are getting more calls in. Kirk in Lauderhill. There we go. Hey, Kirk, how are you? Hello, Kirk.
Hello.
Hey, Kirk, how are you?
I'm doing great, but I need you to help me reconcile something. I remember on the subject of service animals a while back that you said that any reliable source of saying that this person needs this animal to function will do, even a family member. And then today you said it has to be a doctor. And in our community, it's not just a doctor. It has to be a psychiatrist. Mm. Which one is it?
No. Maybe I don't know. I certainly believe you might have heard me wrong, but no. What the association is allowed to ask for is what's called reliable documentation. Reliable documentation. So that could mean a lot of things. It could mean a medical note, although the association is not allowed to say we want to see medical records because that violates HIPAA laws.
Didn't you print something up from the internet for Goofy?
Right, we certainly did. Those ridiculous organizations that people join that say, yeah, my pet is certified. There's no such thing as a certified emotional support animal. But, yes, the law provides that the reliable information could be a medical note. It could be a note from a psychiatrist, psychologist, a family therapist. Mm-hmm. Or it could be actually anyone with familiarity about the illness and whether or not the emotional support animal helps. Absolutely. So there's a wide range of things that the association needs to look at when deciding whether or not the person makes the test. But under any criteria, those medical notes or that reliable documentation has to show that the person is suffering from a disability. And what's a disability, right? The inability or having a problem with walking, seeing, hearing, breathing, eating, sleeping, working, one of those things. And that the pet alleviates the disability. And that the unit owner needs it to use and enjoy their dwelling. That's basically the test.
Can any one of those override the other? Let's say our requirement is a psychiatrist. They come back with a doctor's note instead of a psychiatrist.
Absolutely. A doctor's note would be good enough.
Or
doctor's note would be good enough. A doctor says the person
says the child can't function.
Potentially, yeah, but I think if it's just from a family member, probably the association would have a right to ask for other reliable documentation, again, showing that the person suffers from a disability.
Unless grandma's a doctor.
Okay.
What else could it be? Could be findings from the Social Security Administration, right? Showing that the person receives Social Security disability benefits as a result.
There's a lot of different ways to get reliable documentation.
Yeah.
I train dogs for a living, and people would come in wanting me to certify their dog. I can't certify your dog.
Yeah, because there is no such national certification, right?
There's no such thing.
Right, no such thing.
I can train you.
So let me ask you this. Is there a way, do you think, to eventually come up with a system where there can be a way to at least say, forget emotional support animals, they don't need training, but as a service animal, that there would be a national certification? Isn't that long overdue?
It already exists.
There's a national certification?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It is the the AKC Good Citizen test, and your dog has to be trained to pass it, and it's a standard in a lot of communities all across and cities across the country. You want to take your dog out in public, you better have that AKC Good Citizen certificate.
Got it. And do the trainers themselves get certified by this AKC?
Yes. And the trainer, for example, I might train somebody, and I have dogs that work for the VA now, that will be ready to take the test, but I can't administer the test.
Got it.
another trainer who's certified has to come and administer the test that has no relationship with the animal.
Oh, that's great to know, because I always thought there were really no standards, and what may be considered a trained service animal to one may not necessarily meet the rigorous standards of another organization. But if you're telling me that there are some common grounds, you know, there is a national way to certify an animal.
It is recognized by municipalities and different places, but it's a real thing.
Sounds great.
And it's
Kirk, I appreciate it. And I
pass this. It's cool. You bet.
Yeah, thanks for educating us this morning. Much appreciated. Okay. All right, how about really quick we go to Marilyn in Clearwater. How are you, Marilyn?
Hello. I'm great. How are you?
Okay, how can we help?
Our condominium association has title on one of the condos that was foreclosed on 8 years ago.
Yes.
And there is a tenant who has been in that condo for the past 8 years. The past board decided that they needed to raise the rent, and the rent was raised from $1,000 a month to $1,100 a month. This condo is on the Gulf of Mexico. We, as a new board, were going to raise the rent again because it's far underpriced.
Okay.
And what we found out was that somebody, and nobody is admitting to it, signed a lease with the tenant until 2020.
Oh, okay.
The tenant signed the lease, but nobody else signed it. Is that a valid lease?
No, not if both parties did not sign the lease, because if it's an agreement in excess of 1 year, and because it's an agreement in excess of 1 year, both parties would have to sign it. So considering both parties did not sign it, I think the board can get out of that.
Okay, but she is paying the extra $100 a month.
Right, right. But again,
but
when did you want to raise it to?
Well, the going rate around here is from $2,600 to $3,000.
Wow, yeah. So it's certainly worth a little fight about.
$1,600?
Yeah, I get it. It's certainly worth the fight. But I'm saying if it's not signed, then if it wasn't approved by the board, I think that you certainly have the ability to potentially get out of it. Okay?
Great. Can I ask you one more
question? Okay, we're out of time. Sorry. Time to go.
Okay.
A text from Sam telling us we are out of time. God, the hour goes so fast.
I know.
Awesome.
And
thank you
so much.
Everybody enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. We will speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 850 WFTL on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.